be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to the father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all of his belongings and set off for a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered the servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. And then let us celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field. And on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out to plead with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and never once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when this son of yours returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always, and all I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has been brought to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Finish today the end of the first phase of Lent. First phase of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, and the whole theme is repent and believe in the gospel. It's an opportunity for us through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to become like God, come like the one with whom we converse, hunger for what he starves, and become as generous as he makes it possible for us to be generous. To become holy as God is holy, perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, means to become merciful as the Father is merciful. And today we see how merciful the Father is and the standard to which he calls us. First reading today, Micah tells us, "Who is there like you? The God who removes guilt, pardons sin, doesn't persist in anger, but delights in clemency, will have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt, who will cast into the depths of the sea," hear what Jesus said to St. Faustina, "who will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins." And then in the responsorial psalm, which we pondered, how kind and merciful is the Lord. The holy author tells us he pardons all our iniquities, heals all our ills, redeems our life from destruction, crowns us with kindness and compassion. He doesn't requite us for our crimes. And then in a most beautiful passage, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he put his our transgressions from him." He separates us from sin because of his kindness and his mercy. As far as the heavens are from the earth, as far as Los Angeles from New York City, so God distances us from that spiritual cancer. That's how kind he is. And in the gospel, we see that face of mercy in the image of this Father, never ceasing to be merciful to a son who treated him as if he was dead, who squandered all that the Father had, at least half of what the Father had earned, who brought great dishonor to the family name and household. But as soon as he came back, covered with dung, the Father embraced him, and he totally restored him to his filiation, giving him a signet ring, covering the dung with his finest garment, putting sandals on his feet so that he could go wherever he wants, and then killing the fatted calf for the greatest celebration of all. In the two other parables of this chapter, you know, it says heaven rejoices more for one repentant sinner than for 99 who never needed to repent. And we see the incredible joy of the Father at the resurrection and the finding of his Son, who not only does he separate us from sin, as the heavens are separated from the earth, but he also seeks to bring us to heaven. But the whole purpose of Lent is not just to focus on God's mercy and kindness, his hesed, his splanknitzomai, which is what the verb is here, when the Father was filled with compassion. It's also to recognize that the Lord wants us to be merciful as he is merciful. Somebody who separates the sinners who have hurt us as far as possible from their sins through our being merciful. Somebody who's constantly seeking to restore people to their true dignity. Somebody who's doing some of the dirty work and even running out to embrace those who need to be cleansed. The second phase of Lent that begins tomorrow with the meeting of the Samaritan woman at the well, it's all about the water with which the Lord seeks to cleanse us, that overflowing torrent of his merciful love. And that'll take us all the way to the third part of Lent, which will be the specific focus on the prophecy about how Jesus is going to do all of this through his passion, death, and resurrection. But to become like God. And that's why the second part of this parable is so essential for us in Lent. Yesterday, you remember, we had the focus on envy. The envy that led 10 at least of the brothers of Joseph to betray him and to think about killing him just simply because their father Jacob loved Joseph more, even though he loved them all. And then the envy in the parable of the tenants of the vineyard who stoned and killed and rejected the prophet's send and didn't even respect the son when at last the father sent him as a last resort. But in echoes of the phrase in the praetorium, crucify him, said, this is the year, come let us kill him and seize his inheritance. That envy, that sadness over somebody else's misfortune, that anger at God's blessing to others, is what characterized the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't want to enter into how God would separate sin from the sinners. But they wanted to, as Pharisee itself means, the separated ones, separate themselves from those who sin. That didn't come out the right way, I think. We're supposed to separate ourselves from sin, not sinners. And that's what they didn't get. And that's the second half of this parable. Rather than rejoicing, the older brother, who represents the scribes and the Pharisees, stayed outside, separated himself from his brother to such a degree that he couldn't even call him his brother. When this son of yours returns, where all he could remember were this guy's sins, his brother's sins. And he refused to enter because he couldn't celebrate. Scribes and the Pharisees preferred that people die separated from God in their sins, then they experience what the younger son did in the parable. The Lord is constantly trying to change that attitude. We can never be like God, whose greatest joy is forgiving, unless we rejoice when people finally come back, regardless of how they've wasted their life and squandered their gifts up until then. We know that there's no ending to this parable. It finishes almost with an ellipsis, because we don't know really how the scribes and the Pharisees ultimately turned around after they implemented that plan of yesterday to crucify that son, even though they knew that such a behavior merited a wicked death, as was said in the parable. Jesus didn't want them to have a wicked death. In the cross, as he was lifted up, he sought to draw all people to himself. But did they respond? It's the question of every age. To be fully Christian means to let God's mercy become the ultimate definition of our life, to let that gut-exploding compassion characterize us. Over these next few weeks, as the whole world goes into the desert, we have a chance truly to shine. And we will shine by the way we pray out of compassion, by the way we run to people out of compassion, rather than keep our distance, and ultimately by the way we love them.